Hey guys, Butters from South Park here. Just want to make sure you have your parents' permission to be listening to this. You know, sometimes we talk about some pretty racy things, like boobies. Well, I guess I'd better get going now. Enjoy the show.
Please state your name.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Please state your purpose.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. Read reviews, choose your own commission plan, and learn more about Mark at markcharter.com.
Now, hear this.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Mark Charter.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more Adam Gray.
And Adam Gray.
Hey guys, what's up? We didn't have a podcast last week, but we're here. We owe you one, Mark Charter. Mark Charter Real Estate, at Iowa Real Estate. He is allegedly Iowa's most recommended realtor.
I got in trouble for that, by the way, the other day.
Who got?
Not from you.
Are you getting sued?
No, but somebody, I assume a bitter rival, filed a complaint to... Anyway, not anyone official, but I got an email from the lawyer at the Des Moines Area Association of Realtors asking about my truck, because the truck says Iowa's most recommended realtor on it, which I believe is true according to certain sources. So I went back and forth with him a little bit.
You're sourced in on this.
I'm sourced in heavily. So long story short, my new assistant, Nick, yesterday took the truck up to Ames to chase graphic signs up there. And we got a little asterisk up next to Iowa's most recommended realtor.
Did you really?
And then down at the bottom, it says on Trulia.com, which is one of the sites where that is sourced. So that should keep me out of trouble, because he said you might want to actually specify why that's true, where that's true. So, anyway, I digress. Nobody cares about us, by the way. Gray hasn't been on this thing for three
weeks. Who's the realtor who did that?
It's always anonymous.
I want to know.
Always anonymous.
If I do some digging and find out.
It's probably the mean one up in Ames that I was talking about.
That mean lady.
You started it.
I know.
You did. Yeah. That was all you.
I know. Hey, Gray.
Hey, guys. How's it been?
What's up? God, it's been a while.
It has been a while. But it was a nice absence from the Fawcast. I enjoyed my time off. Felt good about
the listeners enjoyed it too.
No one listened to your podcast with the Bachelor.
Actually, they did.
No, you got like 15 people. And
it was
girls.
We highly listened to.
We got some listeners.
Over 10,000 people listened.
You
were
lying through your teeth.
No, I'm
right
not.
Now.
I can show you the numbers.
I want to see the numbers. Yeah. You know what's great about us is we can be apart for 3 weeks and then fall into the same routine. And the routine for us is, at least for Chris and I's perspective, is we make fun of Gray.
Yeah,
so
is true.
I got some great ammo the other night when we were at Adam Gray's baby shower.
It was a sprinkle.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. And the news that came out of this,
third kid, you know,
the news that came out of this event,
was
that supposedly Adam Gray was gay in high school.
Yeah.
That's what we learned. And who was
I learned it too.
And you know who I was sourced in on this one.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. I find it ironic that he's now married to a female. But the source on this was his own flesh and blood.
Yeah.
His sister. Mm-hmm. Was there.
I'm sure my younger brother and sister.
And she said mom thought Adam was gay in high school. And I found that incredibly funny. That was great entertainment.
As did everybody.
For me.
Yeah.
That was great entertainment for me.
But Adam doesn't believe in that. You know, the only reason people do that is for attention.
Yeah. And then we had a glorious discussion that I don't even remember the details on. We talked about oven mitts for a while, and it was a fantastic little
Adam
event.
Would you care to rebut?
Rebut what?
Anything.
That I don't like butt? I mean, what am I rebutting? I mean, that was inappropriate. Let's go back and delete that one.
You do like butts.
No. This is ridiculous. So
Did your sister or did your sister not say that your mom said that she thought you were
Where
gay
was I at during
school?
All this? I don't remember.
You were cooking the meat.
Yeah, I wasn't there when my sister said this. So I can't say whether she did or did not say this. It wouldn't surprise me. You know, little sisters like to say certain things like that to try to, you know, poke at the older sibling.
I feel really uncomfortable with this conversation.
I do too. I'm actually really surprised that it came up.
No,
maybe we should go back and delete this.
I'm really uncomfortable with this.
Yeah. You are not uncomfortable.
No, I really...
I figured out your game, Williams. I don't believe anything you say anymore.
Well, after we heard how Williams talked in his own house for the shower, then we know he's full of crap.
Yeah, Williams, you're such an instigator, man. I figured out your program.
You are the most inappropriate human being I've ever been around.
Somehow, so that night, Saturday night, was a perfect example of what Chris is all about, in that
in social situations.
Somehow Chris is actually saying all the bad stuff. Chris is saying the stuff that would make people go like, oh, I'd blush. And somehow he figures out a way to pin it on other people sitting around him. That's what he does. Like, he brings it up, he throws it out there, just pukes it for the group to like absorb, and well, then somehow comes back to somebody else that it's their fault.
So there,
and he knows he does it too. That's why he's not denying it right now.
There are two sets of groups too.
My like, wife even vouched for that.
One group was sitting around a table, and then there's like four or five girls sitting at another table.
Yeah. Like and prim and proper.
Women. Yeah. And my wife, she goes, I just kept like, we're at the other table and I kept hearing things Chris was saying. I like kind of peek my head and be like, what the hell is he talking about over there?
We were, to make a long story short for our listeners,
yeah,
we were debating how far, and this is a podcast extension.
Yeah.
Because Adam has ridiculously said numerous times that he would not go to the Playboy Mansion if offered.
Correct.
At this stage of my life.
It's ridiculous. Whatever. We all know
That matters.
We all know the ridiculousness of this.
He's come off that stance a little bit.
No, I haven't.
So we went into...
Yes, you have. You had said, well, if there's a celebrity there or whatever, then maybe I would go.
That aspect of it, because I would get to hang out with, as you said, Conan O'Brien. I would go hang out with Conan O'Brien at the Playboy Mansion because that would be entertaining.
So hence you
going
would,
to the Playboy Mansion
go.
Just to go with you two dudes. So I see once a week.
Hanging
anyway.
Out with the Playboy bunnies would not be entertaining.
Name one Playboy bunny right now.
Does it matter?
Yes, it matters. They're not famous. I'm sorry. I don't know the girls. They're not anybody. I couldn't tell you one Playboy Mansion.
What about
girl.
Fluffy Vandersnoot?
No, like, no.
The
so tell the what like why well, we were talking about this.
So we got into the discussion like if you go to the Playboy Mansion, and or I mean why my wife is sitting right next to me. Mark's
Mine's
wife.
Next to
yeah.
mine.
Like yeah, it's not them. Like we're being facetious here. Like yeah. we're very open about this. At what point does it become cheating on your wife at the Playboy Mansion? And we were going through scenarios which we don't need to. We don't need to digest here.
Let's just say that Williams is a filthy human being.
No, I'm a curious human being. There's a difference.
Your mind is disgusting.
He has some valid points. And one of those, again, I won't
like
delve into it, but there was a question between, you know, what is the other partner view as a bigger, you know, cheating or more inappropriate, et cetera. And it was a kiss versus something far more dangerous than a kiss.
Correct.
And it's funny because a lot of people think that the kiss is much more personal.
It absolutely is.
And there's a lot of emotion involved with that, which other items are simply exterior.
Yes.
So
with no eye contact.
Speaking of
girls. It may or may not have involved an oven mitt.
Speaking of girls, let me ask you this question because I posed this on Facebook today.
Like
and Adam,
girls.
you've already answered this, Adam.
Hey, can I just tell people we are going to get the football here?
Sure.
Okay.
In case they've tuned out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I can see where this is going.
So the question today, which was innocent, and I thought, so I posed on Facebook, who is your biggest crush on TV growing up?
Yeah.
Because I just like to get to know people
Kelly
on Facebook.
Kapowski.
So is that who you're going with? Because that's exactly who Gray said. Kelly
Absolutely.
Kapowski is who he
Quick answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think any of the Saved by the Bell girls, I think Lisa Turtle.
What?
She would not have been a crush of mine. No way.
None of the other girls even a little bit.
Why? Why don't you like Lisa Turtle?
I didn't have a crush on her. I like her.
I bet you liked Elizabeth Berkley and Showgirls.
Elizabeth Berkley. Was that her name? Jesse did nothing for me.
You were pretty quick to shoot down Lark Voorhees.
Who?
Lark Voorhees. Lisa Turtle.
Well, that was the name you said. And
yeah.
So I was
putting I found it interesting. She's the one Saved by the Bell character of color, and you shot her down immediately.
Because we know, added to the list of hatred for Gray. Did you see Showgirls with Jesse Spano? In it? Come on, you can admit it if you did.
I'm trying to think. Oh, the one where she's naked in it, like half
the whole time.
Yeah. I think I've seen a little bit of it, yeah.
My point to Williams is that she looked pretty good in that movie.
I haven't seen it.
Did either one of you guys watch Hey Dude, though?
Oh, yeah.
Because my crush was Melody.
Funny story about
from
that,
Hey Dude.
Mark. She once kissed me.
Shut your mouth.
No, this is 100% true. My dad is a longtime employee of Hy-Vee.
Yeah.
And they used to have these deals at the state fair where it's like Hy-Vee Day or whatever. You know, like big companies do that.
Yep.
in 1 year, like they always would bring in like B-list celebrities and stuff like that. And she was there and she kissed me on the cheek. I was like, I'm probably like 7 or 8 years old, something like
so
that.
So you would be...
It's been still
younger
wife,
than
right?
her. Because was she, what, 40? I mean, is she older than
that? Yeah, she was a lot older than me. I mean, she was probably a...
What? She can't be a lot older than
me,
though.
Well, she was probably a teenager at that time. And I mean, so she's probably 10 to 15 years older than me, I would guess.
I'm going to have to do some...
Maybe not that much.
Up.
I don't know.
What's her actual name
Christine...
again?
Is it? I always want to say Thomas.
Christine Stiller.
I'll Google Ben Stiller's wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Christine something. Taylor. Christine Taylor. I bet that's right.
Yeah, she was hot.
Am I right?
Yep.
Hey Dude was a great show.
Some guys I know liked Brad, who was a girl. She was the brunette.
She was the,
on the show.
She's like the one you would find on FarmersOnly.com.
She was like from a rich family and came out to work on the Dude Ranch.
Yeah.
For a summer.
And the one lead male character was always packing on her.
Yeah. Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great conversation, guys.
Shut your mouth.
Great, great conversation.
Dude, you know how many people right now are reminiscing that listen to this?
They're not, hey, dude.
Oh, okay, well, let's change it. Adam, who's going to be the third string center for Arkansas this year?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you're listening to this, I am curious. Who was your TV crush growing up? Send us a tweet on this. I want to know. At Fawcast, who did you like growing up?
I'll bet you we get a majority of Kelly Kapowski's. I told him, too, this is more like a high school, and this is embarrassing to say, but Katie Holmes. I really like Katie Holmes.
Oh, yeah, from Dawson's Creek.
Did Daddy like?
Oh, yeah, Daddy liked her a lot.
Yeah.
I actually kind of liked there was something intriguing, and it's not just straight looks. It was about the rogue girl on Dawson's Creek. I don't even remember her name. She's the one who went rogue. The blonde with like curls. Did she have a kid early on? I know she was sexually active.
She played Marilyn Manson or Marilyn Monroe.
Maryland. That girl. Yeah, she was sexually active at a young age, and it always intrigued me.
Oh man.
No, but you know what I mean though, because she was kind of the black sheep of the girls on Dawson's Creek.
I think I liked her
because she was sexually active.
She was intriguing to me.
Yeah,
she was very different than the girls I was hanging out with.
You like the naughty girls a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
I kind of turned you on.
Gray and I were also talking about One Tree Hill. You ever get into that?
I did not.
Sophia Bush.
My wife really likes that show.
Yeah.
Michelle Williams. That's the girl's name that you like.
Oh, from Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. Married to Heath Ledger.
Yeah, that gal. Yeah.
Heath Ledger, were they married or just together?
Yep, they were.
What other
partners?
I'm trying to think of, like, Saved by the Bell, man. I was just obsessed with that show.
That was a good show.
Watched it all the time.
My favorite. Do you ever think about old shows and have a favorite episode? There was an episode of Saved by the Bell where they found like $10,000 at the mall.
Yeah.
And they're like, think bad guys are chasing them. Does that one stick out to you?
What about the...
And then at the end, they found out they were on a hidden camera.
Yeah.
What about the one where Bayside struck oil?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then that duck.
And then it turned out to not...
Becky the duck. Zach's duck.
So then...
I'm sorry. Take the money.
I love it when the show got all moral. That was great, dude. The drugs episode.
Oh, yeah.
Just say nope to dope. That was Johnny Dakota? Was that the guy's name?
Remember when Jesse was hooked on the caffeine pill?
That's a famous one,
I'm
man.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, that was famous,
I'm so
man.
Scared.
That's probably their most recognized episode of that show.
I liked the ones when they would go to the beach in the summer.
No, those ones were the lamest.
No.
Malibu Sands. That's where they introduced Stacey Carosi. Now talk about hotties.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Lark Voorhees, a.k.a. Lisa Turtle, her mom had a condo out there.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Because the Turtles, they had money.
Turtles come because she was a... I reckon her mom was a nurse.
I don't know.
Because there's the episode where Zach blows out his knee playing basketball. He slips in the locker room.
Yep.
Does anyone really think that Zach Morris was a good athlete?
And Lisa comes in in a like a candy striped nursing outfit. Remember that? The pink and white.
Oh, do I remember?
Dude, memory lane. Tweet at us. What show did you watch? Who did you like? And if you're a girl out there, chime in too. Because a lot of girls got on this Facebook thing I was saying. Someone said MacGyver. They had a crush on MacGyver.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Someone said Dylan McKay from 90210.
Which male from those shows did you guys, were you most attracted to?
Dude, Zach, of course.
Zach
had
your guy?
It had to be Zach.
Yeah, you wanted to be most like Zach because he always had a hottie. He
couldn't be Slater because he went to Iowa.
Slater had too much of the greasy Jerry curl look.
Yeah,
the hair didn't do it, but, you know. All those people still have careers. Well, Dustin Diamond is in jail now. He stabbed somebody.
He's messed up.
And Lark has gone away. But the other people.
No, what about some other shows though?
Irrelevant.
I'm trying to
like what did you
Vanderbeek
watch?
Vanderbeek on Dawson's Creek.
Nah,
God,
no, he dude, was lame.
I never
so
got
lame.
Him. I never got him. I was more of a Joshua Jackson guy for
the best.
That show.
And this goes to college, so we're going a little later here. But the OC. Oh my God.
Never watched it.
Dude, I got the DVDs. You and Julie will
I'm not
love
watching
it.
You know who I'm jealous of?
Oh, it's fantastic.
I'll tell you who I'm jealous of. Adrian Brody from that show. He was the one that the quick-witted, curly-haired guy, brunette hair. He is married to, I believe in real life, Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as Chris would say, to steal his line, daddy like.
You like her more than you like Blake Lively?
Oh, yeah.
You're crazy.
Oh, yeah. No question about it.
Blake Lively's fantastic.
Leighton Meester, you know, the eyes, the dark hair.
Yeah.
Blake Lively's a beautiful girl, but she's a blonde. And and she's taken by Ryan Reynolds. So
are you whistling?
Yeah, the OC there. Theme song.
I did not. Oh, yeah, okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Back where
right back
started.
Where we started from.
California.
Yeah, I remember that. That wasn't a theme song. That was an actual song.
Yeah, but, but when you hear the song, you know it for the OC. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I watch way too much TV growing up. I have so many shows in my head.
I can't remember what I watched, to be honest with you.
700 Club?
Watched a lot of sports. I didn't watch, no.
Sports. That's it.
That's all I watched.
His brothers would come in. What are you watching? Turn to sports.
Sports.
Yeah. I did watch a lot of Cubs games growing up. Speaking of sports, Cubs are rolling.
Watched a lot of Braves.
Walk-off homer last night.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah, they're playing well.
I'm not a Cubs fan, but I'm rooting for them. They're fun to watch.
They're playing well.
I'm rooting for anyone that is playing the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
They're so annoying.
That's my kind of guy, Greg.
When a team is that good, aren't they a little bit annoying?
Yeah, but the only reason they had the one is because of a rogue call by a paid-off umpire and a wild card game.
Possibly.
Yeah,
possibly.
That changed their whole franchise. Because they lose that game, they're probably in last place right now.
Because they weren't good
before
that.
And the Braves probably go on to win the World Series that year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they weren't good before that.
You know, people say that they like this new wild card game because it's, you know, fun. And don't get me wrong. I mean, it provides a little bit of drama. But it's so stupid. You play 162 games in one game determines it. It's dumb. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's stupid.
In the Braves' case, one call.
Well, the Braves had played 8 games better over 162 games than the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And one call, and they're done.
And a better division that year.
That's BS.
It's baloney is what it is.
I said BS there. So
speaking of dumb, because I know you guys want to talk about football, and we can certainly go that direction now. So a couple of housekeeping items first. Gray and I have decided that we're never going to Clarinda.
Dude, I said next Friday and Saturday I'll go.
I don't know. DeGray, did you ever...
It's my last weekend that I have free until May, and I'm offering to spend it with you guys. I can go next Friday and Saturday.
We'll have to check your calendars on that.
Yeah, I'm out. I can't do that.
All right. Well,
I'm busy. I mean, I'm sorry. Maybe Friday. And if I came back Saturday, maybe.
Whatever. I'm probably available.
Charter, you're always available.
And then the hot dog contest has to happen next Friday, or it's not happening.
Well, we can't do both on Friday. Why? I'm not going to eat 15 hot dogs and then go play golf.
I would rather have you do the hot dogs.
You'd probably play better.
You'd rather do the hot dogs than golf?
Yeah, I'd rather see.
See, I'd rather golf than the hot dogs.
Well, of course you would.
Well, the hot dogs, I feel like we can do at any point because we can do it here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it should be part of your radio show, though.
That's fine. I don't care. I'm not going to back away from it.
Do you want
I've
these hot dogs boiled? Do you want them on the grill?
Oh, it's got to be grilled.
Grilled, okay.
But they can't be too hot. That's the key, because you can't eat things fat.
They got to be cooled down.
When I was working on strategy the other night at the shower, that was the one thing I noticed. I'm like, how fast can I devour this dog?
Yeah.
And it was hot.
Now, interestingly enough, your wife said that she thinks you can do it.
Yes.
That's the first person that said that they think you can.
Who knows me better than my wife? Not many people.
She's very supportive.
She's supportive. I mean, it might have been blind support, frankly.
No.
So I'm excited to see that happen. But yesterday on the show, you said something really dumb that I want to place a bet with you on, and you can decide what the bet is.
Okay.
But you said that Michigan State will beat Oregon.
Correct.
Which is not going to happen.
I'm not going to back out of it because I said it, but then shortly after I did that, their best defensive player is out for the year. That happened afterwards.
Didn't matter to me that happened. I texted you immediately and said that you were stupid.
That's a great argument. Hey, you're stupid.
Well, you're stupid because you're wrong.
I talked about it for 45 minutes, and I gave
where's the game at?
Michigan State.
Michigan State wins that game.
Doesn't matter. All right, fine. I got two bets to make now.
Okay.
What do you clowns want to not
hey,
put
do
on
you,
this.
Do you know who Oregon's quarterback is?
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
It doesn't?
No. Huh. It doesn't matter. They're a system team.
You do realize that Michigan State played them tough in Eugene last year, right?
They were beating them by like two touchdowns.
You also realize that one season to another rarely means anything.
Okay. So why are you so confident in Oregon and down on Michigan State?
Because Michigan State typically doesn't have the offense to keep up with a team like Oregon. Oregon's a system
team.
But they usually have elite defenses. Oregon has unbelievable athletes that they plug in.
So how did Michigan State beat Baylor in the bowl game last year?
Yeah, fluke things happen in sports, you know? You're telling me that
it would be a fluke if Michigan State were to win in East Lansing.
Yeah, it would be.
That's a terrible take, Charter.
Well, wait till the game happens.
Didn't Michigan State beat Baylor?
I mean, yes, that's what I just said.
I know. Why can't they beat Oregon at home? At home without Marcus Mariota.
Correct.
And the quarterback, I don't even believe for Oregon is on campus yet because he transferred from a D2 school.
Yes.
And
they just lost their starting running back last week to a knee injury.
They're plug and play, baby. They're plug and play.
Name
any of their top five receivers over the last year at Oregon. They just it doesn't matter. Does not matter.
Michigan State will hit him in the mouth.
They get great athletes.
So this was my. Did you listen to the show yesterday, Adam?
No, I didn't.
In preface this, I don't. It's not a commentary on the Big Ten. I think anybody listening could tell that. This is my theory, though, that if Michigan State wins that game, which is an if. I mean, I'm not like.
You're making it sound like it's
a
sure thing.
I'm picking them to win the game. See what and this is what annoys me, like with a guy like you.
Yeah.
I went out on I spent like 3 hours the other night and I put like my top 15, right?
Yeah.
And I picked every single game on their schedule, multiple scenarios.
Yep.
And the one I kept coming up to is this. Michigan State, if they beat Oregon, they're not going to lose to anybody else in the Big Ten because the Big Ten's not very good.
Yeah.
Well, their one loss will be at Ohio State.
Okay.
I also have, after I mapped out all of these schedules,
okay,
I've got the SEC having 3 2-loss teams with Auburn, Alabama, and Texas A&M. So my theory is, and again, it's not a commentary on the Big Ten, it's if Ohio State runs the table, goes 13-0.
Which they're going to.
Which everybody's picking them to do. And Michigan State is sitting there at 11-1 with a non-con win over Oregon. And their one loss is at Ohio State, mm-hmm, which I think will be a decent game. I don't know how they are kept out of the playoff if the SEC's got 3-2 loss. I've got TCU going from the Big 12 at 11-1. I don't think the Pac-12's very good. I think Oregon's down this year.
Well, obviously, you have them losing Michigan State.
Yeah, I think Oregon's down. I think USC's the one where it's kind of like, I don't really know.
What about Arizona?
I still think they're like 10-2.
Ross's point yesterday on the show is valid, though, on why they won't make the playoff, and I agree with him, because under your scenario, Michigan State is not playing in that final weekend.
That's so overrated.
It isn't overrated.
So if Ohio State beats Minnesota, you're going to jerk them off for that?
It doesn't matter because there's an eye test component to these human beings.
Yeah, human.
Picking.
Tom Osborne. Barry Alvarez.
I'm just saying. It doesn't,
Big Ten
if,
guys.
If you're not a part of the Big Ten championship game, it's even worse in the Big 12 where there isn't a championship game. If you're not a part of that game.
How do you know? There's been 1 year. There's no trends. I've seen 1 year of this
playoff. I'm just saying. It looks bad if you're not in your league's championship game. How do you go from not being in the league's championship game to you're one of the best four teams in the country?
Because rational human beings can look at the Big Ten West
and say they don't do that.
So you're not giving them any credit.
No.
Michigan State will not be in the top four if they don't beat Ohio State.
I agree with them. Now, you say this, and everything plays out, but Big Ten stinks, right? Besides Ohio State, Big Ten stinks.
This is my problem.
The schedule is not going to be very good despite playing Oregon.
This is my problem with Mark's take. You're just saying that at a very surface level, and you haven't gone through. My point is I've played out.
The counterargument is you're looking too deep. You don't need to look that deep. Just say, will they be in the Big Ten championship game? No, they won't. They won't be in the playoff. That's all you have to know.
Now, Chris, if they were in the SEC and they weren't in the championship game when they're 11-1,
totally different story.
They'd be in.
With their 4 non-conference games, one against an FC. My point is Oregon is there. That's why Michigan State's different. If it's Iowa, if it's Nebraska, like maybe not Nebraska. Their non-con's actually pretty good. Okay, I think they have like at Miami and they get BYU at home. They're actually playing – a pretty tough schedule. Michigan State is in the better half of the Big Ten.
Yes.
They're not going, that Oregon game.
They're not going 11-1. Even if they beat Oregon, they're going to lose two, maybe three games.
Your point is moot anyway, because at a minimum, they're losing two games. They're losing to Ohio State,
and they're losing
to Oregon.
Like, this is just surface-level crap.
I know
My point is, with the scenario I played out, and I went through and mapped out all these teams that I thought were contenders or whatever to make the Final Four. There was like 13 of them that I came up with. This is how it played out.
You journalists are so jaded, though.
Why?
You think because you sit in your cave and you read your magazines and you do your homework that you know more than everyone else. And typically, you're probably right. The average public, when it comes to football game predictions, you probably know much more than they do. However, there's another group of people that you probably don't know as much as far as how a football game is going to play out. And that would be people that bet a lot of money on them. I'm pretty good at that. So I have a gut feel for having done this for a long time. As far as
never wrong.
I'm not saying I'm never wrong. All gamblers are wrong from time to time. Absolutely true. But if you're winning 60-70% of your games, then you're good at from the perspective of betting on games. And you can't bet for years and years and years and years and years and not have a sense of how things are going to play out.
All right. I resign. Charter can have my radio show.
Like, I don't want
Charter's
it.
Iowa's most recommended realtor.
The
smartest gambler in the world.
I don't want your radio show.
The richest man in the world. He can do it all.
I don't want your radio show.
There's a difference between... I'm analytically thinking this thing through. Like, this is my biggest problem with how you're coming at me.
Yeah.
You're stupid. Like, that, I mean, that's such, like, fifth grade crap. Instead of doing that, why don't you have a conversation
This is coming from the king of egging people on and starting.
No, but that's why I didn't respond to your text yesterday.
I was going to say.
You called me, not even going to say the word. Like, have, like, a conversation about it. You don't just go, you're stupid.
You don't have a conversation over text. Text is meant to just be something quick and short. You don't know that
this can't happen because you're not factoring in what's going on with the SEC. What's Notre Dame's record? What's all that?
How does anybody
That's
know?
How the playoff
nobody,
works.
Nobody knows
The playoff works way more to do with what everybody else is doing than what these single individual teams were. Baylor and TCU both had resumes that could have gotten them in last year. It didn't happen because certain things happened to keep them out. If Florida State ends up losing one game, they're not in, and it doesn't freaking matter if they played in the ACC title game because the league's so much garbage.
So at the end of the day, though, talk is just talk unless you back it up. And that's the way that I view the world. You got to back up what you're saying.
All right, let's bet $10,000 on the game, guys.
No, but my point is valid. You're saying right now that Michigan State, in your opinion, is going to make the playoff.
In my opinion, I think they will beat Oregon, and if it plays out the way I scripted it to play out, I think they'll be in the playoff.
And I think
it's a take.
That's a take. Yeah,
and I actually have a take and I have reason to back it up. I don't just go and tell people they're stupid because of an argument.
You're stupid. How is what I said not a take? And what I said was that Michigan State, first of all, will probably lose at least two games. But even if they don't.
Who do you think they lose to? You think Oregon and Ohio State?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but even if they don't, let's assume that they beat Oregon.
Okay.
And you're right. They still are not playing on that final weekend.
Dude, that's so overrated.
And that's all it takes.
You've seen one year of that.
So that what I just said is a take, but you're not saying it's a take.
It's overrated because you don't know that. You don't know how much that means. You've seen one year of it play out.
I think that the eye test is incredibly important.
Last year, Ohio State made a huge jump because they beat a really good team by 50-some points, okay?
Yeah.
They weren't in. They had to prove themselves.
And Michigan State's not going to get the chance to do that.
Okay, they may not, and that's fine. But the point is, if that scenario plays out this year, because Wisconsin, I think it's going to be down. I have them down.
Yeah.
And if Ohio State last year is playing an 8-4, watered down, crappy Minnesota team, they're probably not in.
Yeah.
So my point is, you can't just sit there and make this. Same with the SEC. The one division of the SEC is terrible this year.
Yeah.
It's horrible for that standard. Awful. The entire ACC is garbage. The Pac-12 North sucks. So my point is, like, if they're playing these 7-5 teams, they're not going to get that benefit of doubt every single year. The way it played out 1 year doesn't mean it's going to happen every single time.
But how can, on one hand, I can't know something, but on the other hand, you can make statements like the ACC will be garbage. They haven't played a game either. None of those teams have.
Okay, do you think the ACC is going to be good?
No, I don't.
But so then what's your argument?
But my point is that none of these things are known. We don't know that Iowa
State
will win two games or five
games. That's why we're in talk radio and we're giving opinions.
But the reality is, on Michigan State, you're dead wrong. Dead wrong.
Okay.
And that's as strong of a take as I can have. And yes, I'm willing to put $10,000 on it. But I won't, because that would be mean.
Go do it. I'm not betting you $10,000, but call your girl, Kelly.
She's not a bookie. She doesn't take bets.
What does she do?
She's a consultant.
Somebody above her
tout.
Tells her what to sell for lines.
She's
and she uses her boobs to sell the lines.
They're called
like touts. Who want to take who?
Charter's not stupid. He got 96% of his games right last year. The guy that goes to the casino and he always sends you like a picture of the jackpot.
No, this is good timing here because we're doing picks again, which I won last year. But this year we got to do something. We got to have a bet on this.
Okay. Right.
Did you officially win them? I don't even remember the results.
Yeah. He did.
Okay. It was close, was it not?
No, I think I won by like 20 games or something.
Oh, shut
like
your mouth.
That's no, I think true. I won by like 2 or 3. It was fairly close. Everyone was pretty good. I don't remember.
We all got eviscerated in the bowl games.
Yeah, dude, the bowl games were awful last year. Absolutely awful.
So, what are we going to bet?
I don't care.
Come on, let's think of something.
I'm in so many of these like bets now.
How about people on the website, people on Twitter, think of some good bets.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's let them decide. Yeah.
Are you currently in a tattoo bet or no?
No, I got out of that.
You really want a tattoo? Yes, you do.
What was the bet? I don't even remember what it was, but then it was if I made like a blindfolded shot, you know, in the studio with the basket, then I got out of it and I made the shot miraculously. So I got out of that one.
You're a better shooter when you're blindfolded.
I am. Yeah. There's some truth to that.
Yeah. So what did we? Last year we had what? We each picked five games.
Five games
by the spread.
Whatever game you wanted.
Any game you wanted by the spread.
Yep.
I would. Yeah, the tattoo bets scare me. Part of me, the risk part of me, says I would be willing to do that. As long as the tattoo is very small and I could pick the location.
Yeah, I don't want to do the tattoo bet.
That's
not doing our tattoo bet.
Yeah. I'm fine with the listeners deciding, but it's got to be only the loser has to pay. So two guys don't have to do anything.
Well,
last place has to.
And it has to be like realistic too. You can't, you know what I mean? Like we all have like jobs and stuff. We can't. Like, you can't put a tattoo on someone's forehead, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, if someone has some suggestions, hopefully one of them is good.
Why are we even talking about tattoos? I'm not agreeing to any tattoos. Let's think of something different.
I don't know what's a good. It's got to be a pride thing, though. Like, it's got to be something, lasting and fun. Like, the league, the show, the league.
Yeah, the Shiva.
They're all around the trophy or whatever. Like,
I haven't watched that show in years. Is it still on?
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's almost like the winner gets the winner gets a trophy with like the two losers like on the trophy having to, you know, not really on the trophy, just get a trophy made with the losers' faces on it or something to that extent, which we don't have to do that. But my point is like having
that would be fun.
Having something physical that you can win, take pictures with, send out, have it for the full year. That type of thing is fun, and it's easy to get trophies made. That's not a big deal.
Let's do
at
that.
All.
I would be down with that.
Winner doesn't have to pay for the trophy.
What about this? Let me go way out there because Gray will hate this idea already.
I can already tell he'll hate it.
All right, here we go. So we get a trophy made. Trophy can look great, okay? The two losers, right? So the winner gets this trophy. The two guys that finish second and third. Doesn't matter who's last. If you want to do something for last place, that's fine. What if on the trophy, at the top of the trophy, we have two like trophy figures with the faces of the two losers, and they got to be kissing. They got to be doing something. So the winner gets this trophy of the two other dudes kissing each other for a full year. I think I could get that made. I could find a trophy guy to get that made. Gray's hating it, which is perfect.
I can't say anything because I'll be accused of something.
That is right. If you say anything, then
you'll spin it and make people believe that I hate dogs, racist.
Well, you don't like dogs.
Hate
you don't
old people.
You don't like dogs. Can we clarify that? I mean, it's been.
No, I think it's better to say I don't like animals. Just any animal, I'm not a big fan of.
And we could tweak this idea.
Just kill them all.
But something along those lines. Are you guys down?
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down with pretty much whatever within reason.
So obviously. You'd be okay being on the top of a trophy kissing Gray?
Yeah, whatever. It means I'm fine with that.
Gray.
Why would I have a problem?
We don't have to like actually kiss and take a picture.
No, we can get around that part.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't care.
Then that's fine. As long as I don't have to actually touch Williams.
The key would be getting the trophy that actually looks like you.
Speaking of touching Williams, we want to talk about your sexual massage of him on Saturday that lasted a lot longer than I think I was actually comfortable watching it.
It was a really good massage.
It wasn't actually sexual.
You were blowing on his neck as you were getting
unless you have a deviant mind.
But we're blowing.
You sound like Trump.
The funny thing is, like when you look at Chris, sometimes he looks like he'd be more marshmallow than he actually is. But he's got some beef to his shoulder region. He must lift or something because it was a little bulkier than I expected when I went in.
I think it's because he was very tense from the another dude.
He did tense up a little bit, but he didn't stop it either. He was willing to let it play out.
Did you listen to that? The podcast with Jeff Woody yet?
Yeah, I did. It was good.
What do you think?
About what?
Iowa State.
I told you this, and Charter thinks we're crazy, but I got a good feeling. I think we're gonna get five, and I think we got a chance for six. And actually, gun to my head right now, I think we're gonna get six.
You're crazy.
Well, I'm crazy. Here's my take, though. There's a lot of pressure on the team and the coaching staff to make hay early. They got to win early. They got to go.
You and I.
4-1 to start their first five games.
They got to beat you and I.
Well, yes. If they don't beat you and I, they're not going to get 5, 6, 4. Probably not going to get 3.
I was telling Chris the other day that someone told me that if Rhodes loses to you and I, he's out. Then. This was from a source.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen.
I'm just saying. You know.
What do you think about that, Chris? You think that Paul would fire Rhodes on the spot?
Like I told Mark, I mean, I have no idea who told him that.
He was sourced in.
It wouldn't.
I don't think it would happen.
It would surprise me, but it wouldn't shock me.
By Mangino would be the coach for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You know, which, hey, if you're being honest, is that a downgrade or an upgrade? You could make the argument probably pretty easy that that's an upgrade.
Mark Mangino at Kansas took advantage of opportunities that Dan McCartney never could.
Yes.
Rhodes
has never had the chance of.
People think that if Rhodes were to get fired, that Mangino should be the hire. I couldn't disagree more.
But you would agree that he would be the interim coach for the rest of the year.
Or Wally. I mean, either one, I think, is a fine...
Oh.
Mangino would make sense because he's been a head coach. Well, I don't think it will happen, though.
Simply put, is Mangino here because no one has offered him a head coaching job? It just seems odd that he's here still to me.
Still, this is only his second year.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be a one and done.
Well, he didn't. It's not like they were world beaters last year. Yeah, what did his offense do?
Yeah, nothing.
So, if you're looking for a head coach out there, why at this point in his career would you go?
Track record before. You know, it just seems like coaches get recycled so easy. He has had success somewhere else. Oftentimes, that's good enough.
What's fascinating about Mangino, though, and I think he's a good offensive coordinator, obviously, not downplaying that, but like his record against the Big 12 South at Kansas
was terrible.
Yeah, it was. I think he won like 4 games against Southern schools during his time at Kansas. What I say, like, he took advantage of what McCartney couldn't. It's when those crappy schedules came around, you know, for those North teams where you missed out on the big dogs, Mangino's teams would win.
Yeah.
And Iowa State would go 7-5. Well,
the year that they went 11-1 or whatever Mangino's team did, they did not play any of the South schools. They didn't play Texas, Oklahoma, or Oklahoma State, I believe, correct?
I believe you're right. Yeah, it was a cake schedule.
Yeah.
And they beat the teams they should beat.
And they lost to Missouri, I want to say.
Yeah.
So.
And Missouri was really good that year, I believe. Wasn't that like a top 5 game at the end of the year, like or top 10 or something like that?
Yep.
But it was in November, I remember.
Missouri got hurt because they ended up playing the Big 12 championship game, and they got beat by Oklahoma or someone else. So they didn't go to a BCS bowl game. Instead, Kansas did. And then Kansas, as we know, beat Virginia Tech in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
So
I made, speaking of Iowa State, because I was curious how much worse you and I is this year than last year. But anyway, a week later, we play the Hawks. I made the stupidest bet ever. And I did it on purpose. So Vegas is in November. Yep. Gray's going. And one of my good friends, Gabe Glenn, who we've talked about.
Is Gabe going?
Maybe.
Maybe.
He told me he didn't really want to go.
Maybe. He probably did say that. So.
No, he did. I met with him earlier this week.
Yeah. So he may have to go, though. Did he tell you about the bet?
He told me about the bet.
So the bet is, so he said, Gabe went last year, had fun. And the premise of this trip is you pay $300, I pick up the rest of the tab. So you get to go to Vegas for cheap. And Gabe said, hey, I'd love to go, but I'm gone every weekend for football. I'm doing football stuff. I got to spend some time at home for the family.
Which is an admirable thing to do.
It is. But Gabe's a big hawk guy. He just is. So I said, I rarely take no for an answer. So I said, all right, I got to figure out a way to get Gabe to Vegas. And so I proposed this bet to Gabe. So if Iowa State loses, Hawks win, then Gabe gets $1,000. Okay, all the Hawks have to do is win. Point spread doesn't matter. Okay. Yeah. If Iowa State...
Already a stupid bet.
If Iowa State wins... Here's the real dumb part about it. If Iowa State wins, Gabe has to go to Vegas.
Yeah, but you're paying for it.
But I'm still paying. He has to pay the 300, but I'm still paying...
The difference.
At least another 300 on top of that. So I'm either out the cost of another trip to Vegas, or I'm out $1,000. But the intriguing part was me getting him to make it so enticing to him that he had to go back to his wife and say, well, Charter proposed this bet to me, so now I really need to do it. And he's accepted it. So if Iowa State wins the game, Gabe is in Vegas with us.
If he didn't accept it, he would be as dumb as you are for proposing that bet.
Probably.
That's
probably the dumbest bet I've ever made.
I would agree. And I haven't even heard of your other bets, but there can't be anything dumber than that.
Yeah, that's probably top in the chart.
Especially since you're so down on Iowa State football this year.
Yeah, that's their Super Bowl. That's what people like to say. You know, that's their Super Bowl. As long as Gabe didn't tell you, Chris, that he won't go, he won't pay up, then I'm fine with him saying he doesn't want to go.
No, he didn't tell me he wouldn't go.
Oh, he's going.
He said he'd pay up.
He's going.
He just said he didn't want to go. He said, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say about Vegas, but, you know.
It wasn't anti-charter. It was
you've been there, Gray?
Vegas? I remember. Three or four times, yeah.
Yeah, once you get there, your juices start flowing.
Yeah.
It's just...
I've never been.
It's a fun place.
I want to go down there because Brooks and Dunn and Reba are doing a show together.
Are they?
Yeah.
That sounds not cool.
Not a big Reba fan
at all.
What do you mean you're not a big Reba?
Our music's kind of blah.
Don't give me that.
What is? I mean this sincerely because I do not know. What is Reba's biggest hit ever? Because I couldn't name a single one. I'm curious if I'd recognize it.
Probably Fancy.
No clue.
Here's your one chance, Fancy. Don't let me down.
Never heard of
that. That's a good song.
It's a great song.
It's a good song. I've never heard it in my life.
I don't know this for a
Brooks
fact.
Brooks and Dunn. I bet
Taylor
I know they're...
Taylor Swift and Carrie Underwood probably, because people just buy more now. Reba's got to be one of the biggest moneymakers of all time.
What is Brooks and Dunn's biggest hit?
Boots, Gutten, Boogie.
Okay, see, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
Hardworking Man. There's a lot of them. Red Dirt Road's on there. They have a lot of hits.
Yeah, Brooks and Dunn's solid.
I figured out that Williams is really picky about his country music.
He's a snob.
When we were driving back from The Bachelor, I was listening to satellite radio, and a song that I considered country, it's that one where the guy's talking and singing at the same time. What is that? Oh, Your Time. I want to take your time. Anyway, it's a hit. It's on the radio right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's country.
And I said, I said, Chris, look, it's a country song, and I actually like this song. He's like, that's not country.
Oh, I know who it was. It was like that Sam Hunt guy.
And
he's not country.
I named a few others. You know, like, what about, Lady A, and what about all these people, and every single one, that's not country.
I would call Lady A country.
You know? Have you heard their new song, Bartender, that's popular on the radio right now?
It's 3 years old.
It's on the radio now.
I don't listen to the radio because they play all that garbage.
Yeah.
I really don't. I create a Pandora station.
So even when I like country, I don't like country.
This is funny about Chris. For a guy that's a snob about country music and he likes he drinks Bush Light. You know, there's elements of Chris where he's a snob about what he is, and then there's Bush Light Chris Williams.
I remember Adam around the last election. I just remember, I don't know why I remember this, but I always remember you saying to me, you're the hardest human being I've ever tried to figure out.
Well, you're all over the place. I mean, it's unbelievable. You sit there and you do everything. You watch TV shows that I would never watch, like reality TV shows. You actually like WWE over the age of 30.
Here's the deal
with
me.
Watch NASCAR.
Here's the deal with me in sports, though. It's there's just a difference. I don't want this to come off as complaining. There's a difference when it's your job. You know what I mean? Like, everybody needs a break from what they do. And, like, when I come home at night, like, I DVR sports because I've got to watch them at some point for work, obviously. But I want to, like, defrag and just watch The Bachelor with my wife. You know, it's just an escape from work for a little bit, and then dig back in.
We got to find you a different show to watch as well.
I haven't watched any of the new Bachelors for the last the batch I watched was
The
Christmas
Bachelor.
Season.
No, Bachelor in Paradise. Not even that. Like, whatever their show is now, where they all go.
Yeah.
That is a boring show. Like, their old version, they used to bring all the couples together and then they play games every week and have winners.
What are they?
Like,
I haven't watched any of it.
Now they just go to a little tropical location. Gray's taking his headset off. They go to a tropical location and they just chill. They chill for like 3 weeks.
So they,
and they pair up a little bit. It's really, really boring.
They don't do it?
Oh, I'm sure they do it, yeah.
Okay, so you're going back. Let's go back to the country music snob portion of this. Because I'm going to the open invite too. I do have some tickets. If you guys want to go and have the time of your life, but Charter, like, I'd really recommend you have a wardrobe change if you do this. I've got some tickets to the Knoxville Nationals on Saturday.
Oh, jeez.
I'm taking the truck down. Rob Gray and I are going. And we're going to tailgate in the afternoon. Then we're going to hang out at Dingus for about 4 or 5 hours before the races. A bunch of my boys from Southwest Iowa are meeting us up
You're
there.
You're hanging out at Dingus?
Yeah.
What is Dingus?
Dingus Lounge. It's right across from the Knoxville Raceway.
Unfortunately, I believe on Saturday I'll probably be in Maquoketa.
Maquoketa what?
Maquoketa.
I'm just saying, if you showed up wearing something like that, you get your ass whooped.
Probably. It's like showing up to the first day of grade school with a dog on your sweater.
I'd kick my own ass if I wore something like that.
It's
your shirt is burning my retina.
This is like a, it looks like a,
it's like a, it's like a dress cowboy shirt. It's like you're,
it's a plaid.
Plaid, yeah.
It's plaid, and it looks a little bit like,
great. You want to go to the Nationals?
A tablecloth at a diner.
I'll be in Davenport.
Oh, I'm serious though. Like, this is a, it matters not if you like racing.
Yeah.
This is like a Iowa, like, bucket list event. It's just a party.
Let me ask,
like,
you.
Like, it is, the city of Knoxville is just insanity.
How would my baby blue polo shoes,
oh my God,
play at the Knoxville race?
Well,
how much do the shoes cost you, Charter?
You don't need to know.
Honestly,
that.
Tell us how much the shoes cost. I was looking at your watch. How much is that watch?
Dude, the watch is, the watch is not expensive at all.
Like, what? What's not expensive to you?
Like, $150. Okay. It's not. That's a nice
my wife
watch.
Got me this for my birthday. You like that?
That's right.
See, your watch looks way nicer than this watch.
This is like $100, I think. It's a fossil. Yeah. I mean, it's not.
Now, let me tell you something that'll drive people out there listening. It's crazy, but it's true, okay? Tell me, and if I ever do this and show up wearing a watch, I'm not even going to tell you guys that I've done it, but there's a watch out there that I really, really love. So let me ask you this question. What's the most amount of money you would spend on a watch?
$150.
Comfortably. You would never spend more than that on a watch.
Yeah, I'm the same with Adam. I have like a dream watch at Bass Pro.
Yeah.
It's got like a compass, and it's, you know, it's made for like the outdoorsman, and that's about what that is. That's what I really want.
Now, when I say this, which is true, keep in mind one thing about watches. They actually retain their value fairly well. So you can get out of a watch, a nice watch, for close to what you bought it for. So it's not just like you bought it and your money's gone forever.
It's like a car?
Here's my question. What do you use a watch for? You don't look at time on them.
Style. It's a style piece. And I like...
It's an accessory.
I like rare...
It's no different than
a
necklace.
I like rare things. So anyway, the watch of my dreams right now is called... it's a Panerai. Panerai was originally made for the Italian Navy. Sylvester Stallone wears a lot of Panerais in his movies. He's a big fan of that brand, etc. The watch I want, I found down at Tivol in Kansas City when we were down for the Big 12 tournament. They have a nice watch.
When you bought your man
stuff.
Purse.
When I bought my man purse.
Yeah, yeah.
Down there.
After you got your back waxed.
Not that weekend.
No, waxed.
Not that weekend.
You got it.
The surgically removed.
So yeah. I'm going to state very clearly for the record that I have not purchased this watch, so people can't get mad at me for having bought this watch. Now, I could have, but I'm not to the level where I make enough money where I feel like I could have done it and not kicked my own butt.
I'm going to say $10,000.
This watch was on sale, and it was $14,000.
That's insane.
That's stupid. I would, once again,
I would punch you in the face.
I would kick you right in the
head. I would jump over this and punch you in the face if you ever bought that watch.
But here's the crazy thing. In the high-end watch world, mm-hmm. $14,000 is not a lot of money. There are watches out there that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and the people that buy
a watch
are idiots.
It's the Donald Trumps of the world, man. You're calling Donald an idiot?
Well,
kind of.
Could be our next president right there.
Depends on the moment he's
that
talking.
That guy won't be the next president. I will say there is, and I don't want to get into politics because nobody wants to, but I was telling Gray about this earlier in the week. There's a part of Donald Trump that's scratching me right where I itch.
Oh yeah.
Just watching him like just it's the like nonconformist of him that like just flipping everybody the bird that I'm really enjoying.
Donald is leading the polls for a reason.
I love
a very, very simple reason.
I love 60% of what he says and then the other 40% just makes me cringe.
I know.
Just absolute cringe.
Yeah.
The rest of the politicians should take note though that Donald Trump, even if you disagree with what he says, is speaking the truth.
Oh, that's why I like him.
As he believes it.
I won't ever vote. I don't think he should be our president.
And it's refreshing to hear somebody that isn't filtering themselves based off a poll.
Could you imagine being in a war and that guy calling the shots?
No.
He'd be like, where's the button?
Oh, my God.
Give me the button.
To me, like, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to with him, because it's like, there's a lot of stuff he says that makes sense. And like Gray says, a lot of it's just bat bleep crazy.
I'm curious.
Like, think about that guy in like a war.
I'm really curious.
I don't even know if I'd say bat beep bleep crazy.
No,
he's just mean.
Yeah, he is. He's like, just downright not a nice
guy. Yeah,
but aren't you curious though at a minimum to see him stay in the race long enough to have to actually introduce some plans, because he says things like,
it's all surface level
He says things like
none of them back it up, Chris. There's not one of them.
But
this is what
he's. Yeah, you've got to lay out details.
No, they don't.
He says, "I'm going to get rid of Obamacare and replace it with something great." That's what he says.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't say what.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm asking.
But if he continues to go along, at some point he will have to say what he wants to do. Same thing with the IRS. I want to overhaul
Mark,
and simplify.
He doesn't, because none of them do. I mean, no one knew what Obamacare was until it passed. Pass it, and then we'll find out. I mean, that's a famous quote. They don't have to tell you, because most
Gray's
American
political stance is coming out.
It's not Republican or Democrat. Politicians don't have to say their stance. They can just make general comments and get away with it. That's what they do.
It's like sports talk radio.
Wasn't Obamacare supposed to lower everyone's costs?
I'm not going into the
politics. mine have not been lowered.
We all know what charter where he leans.
Because he's rich, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know where I lean.
Oh, you mean
I lean towards the side
that we want to keep our money? You mean that side?
Oh, God. See, this turned into exact. I should
have
known.
I thought we were going to talk football, and we've gone about an hour. We have not talked football.
We talked football.
You guys got into an argument about Big Ten football. No one cares about Big Ten football.
I tried to steer it towards Iowa State, and nobody went that route. It's not my fault. I tried.
I mean, I did listen to your conversation with Woody, and it was good. And, you know, everyone makes a big deal out of the center. What's his name? Scroggins. You know, that loss hurts. But, man, everyone makes such a big deal about losing Farniak. I'm sorry. We're not the only team in the country that lost a center. They have an entire offseason to make it work with a new center. I'm tired. If they use that as an excuse once this year, I'm going to flip out.
No, they won't.
They might.
They won't do that. I mean, fans might and stuff, but the team won't.
But you notice it on Twitter, too. The Iowa State attitude, and I don't blame fans. It's already defeatist attitude. Oh, here we go again. This season's our.
You can't blame them.
You can't, but it is a little annoying. I mean, it's one injury. It's unfortunate.
I don't blame them.
But it's one injury.
For God's sake, it's on the fifth day of camp. They lost their second string center on the first day last year. I don't blame them.
It sucks.
Dude, that's like, have you ever seen the movie Rent? Great movie. You probably hasn't seen it. It's about gay people.
No way Gray's seen it.
But anyway, in that movie, this New Yorker is like all depressed. And I'm like, why are you so depressed? He's like, because I'm a New Yorker. That's my life. You know, it's just certain things. Iowa State fans, we're just a certain way. You know, we hear a piece of bad news, we're like, there it goes.
Here we go again.
We got no chance.
I don't like the defeatist attitude. I don't.
I guess it's just my opinion. I don't see that as a defeatist attitude. I just see that as like, damn. I see a defeatist attitude as like, thinking you've already lost. I don't see anybody thinking that Patrick Scroggins is going to impact the season that much. But it is a troubling trend. I don't think you can doubt that.
What are they supposed to do? Put these guys in bubble wrap, though?
They're football players.
It's football.
You're going to get hurt. A positive spin, by the way. What is your score prediction for the opening week? I'm curious how you think this UNI game is going to play out.
Oh, geez, that's a good question. I'm going to say Iowa State wins this game 34-17.
Yeah,
right, so they doubled them up.
I'm okay. Right around there.
Yeah,
right. I was going to say two touchdowns.
I kind of like it. I think we start like we did last year against North Dakota State, but instead of just
start hot and then not collapse
ourselves,
not collapse. Okay.
Yeah, I think we keep going.
I think Iowa State will come fired up. The new stadium, all that stuff, they'll come fired up.
And UNI is not as good as they were last year, and they're not as good as North Dakota State was last year. So, and I think Iowa State will be better. So, I think all things considered, Iowa State wins that by 2 touchdowns, maybe a little more than that.
So advancing one more week, what is your prediction? We'll recap this when Iowa gets closer, but what do you think?
Probably will change a lot between seeing both teams play, but I think Iowa State gets them by 7-10.
7-10?
I would agree.
Yeah. Interesting. I would think more like 3-4.
Yeah.
Close.
Maybe whatever.
Most games usually are close.
Hopefully not a last-second field.
I guess the difference between 3 and 7, I mean, it'll be a close game.
How much do you think the stadium helps? And let's be honest, home field advantage is a real thing. Absolutely, you know, as you see by betting lines. And now you throw in a more big-time feel. There's going to be more fans there. You know, you saw Jamie Pollard's tweet today. They've sold out of all those tickets.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of fans, especially for the first two games. Now, if they lose those games, fans are going to not come for after that. But do you think it makes Iowa State any better having this new stadium?
Up front, yeah.
I don't know. I guess
the emotional aspect of it?
Yeah, from that standpoint, I guess I would venture to say in 5 years, probably. I don't know if it does immediately.
Well, it's going
to
help them recruiting.
Yeah, know what I mean? Like, I just I don't know if, like, right immediately it makes it. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea how much louder it'll be. I don't know.
I think it makes a big deal the first quarter, the first couple drives, defense, and then once the game gets going, I don't think it matters much after that.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you've got to have better players.
You've got to still play, yeah.
and in Coors Stadium would only matter, too. And the problem is it's at the opposite end, because normally in an enclosed stadium, like, say you go to overtime and you pick a side of the field, then you'd want to go to the enclosed side, but that's not where the students are. The students are still at the open end. So if that ever happens, I can't remember the last overtime game at Iowa State. Maybe
Iowa State, Iowa.
When was that?
Just Steel Jance.
Steel Jance.
Good game.
Triple overtime.
Ross made another point on the show yesterday, which is not valid in the Iowa State game. He said, if you want to know how people actually view Iowa and Iowa State, look at the lines for that game.
Yeah.
And that's that line is usually pretty far off.
They're just trying to get action.
Like last year, I think it was Iowa by 13.
No, but it's a perception of the two programs, which is, I think, his point, right?
It's a perception.
Yeah, and
they're trying to get action.
Yeah, and the perception is always going to be that. I mean, Iowa fans are going to bet, because every time you look at Iowa predictions, they think they're going to beat Iowa State by 3 touchdowns.
But there's a lot of examples over the last 10 years where that line has been large for one team and the other team wins.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even all that close.
Has Iowa State been favored against Iowa in the last 20 years? Maybe once.
They probably were during that McCartney streak at some point.
Yeah, because Iowa used to be.
Yeah, because Iowa was really bad there for a while.
I grew up during the, well.
You know the streak I'm talking about?
Yeah, like Iowa State won 5 in a row.
I would guess that Iowa State was a favorite a couple of times at least.
It's just refreshing to be at a place now, though, at least where it's competitive in that game. Because I grew up during like 63-7.
I used to just love running the score up.
Beat downs.
Yeah.
You know, didn't even show up. That was embarrassing. So hopefully we win and we start 2-0. I don't know.
And then,
Toledo's a tougher game than I am.
Yeah, but Toledo, I see Toledo going a lot like the game at UConn and Steel Jansen.
No, I've made that comparison.
I really think so. And I think Iowa State
same level of team.
But they find a way to win it. UConn probably had more overall talent than just Toledo. But Toledo, if I remember, they have a good quarterback, don't they?
They have a good quarterback and one of the best running backs in football.
They have all new line, don't they?
Yeah, but it's one of those plug-and-play type, like that line. Like, they lost their five. I've done a lot of research on them. And all those guys are like juniors and stuff. And it's a lot like North Dakota State is what I compared them to. Same system, and they've all played a lot.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a drop off, but I don't know how significant. Well, I think it'll be more indicative on Iowa State's defensive line than their offensive line. I think there's a lot more questions on Iowa State's defense than there are Toledo's offensive line.
Have you asked Louis Ayeni about them at all?
No, not yet.
That'd be a good. He'll be a good person to reach out to during the week.
Yeah,
you guys are going to be pumped if Iowa State starts 3-0 for your little for your little wager made on the season.
Well, if they start 3-0, they're definitely going to go 4. They're not going to lose to Kansas at home in the fourth game. So they're 4-0.
I don't think they're going to start. I guess
that would be the quickest season bet that's ever been won in history, because the bet was over 3.
Yeah, 3.
Right. So they got to win 4 games.
4 games.
Can you imagine going 4-0? Like that's it.
I feel really good about that bet. I really do. Because here's the worst case scenario. I shouldn't say worst case, but they go 3-9.
Yeah.
Then it's a push. I get my money back.
There you go.
Big whoop.
There you go.
All right, boys. We got to wrap her up. We're at an hour.
You need to go back and edit some stuff.
What?
You know what?
Nobody swore. You didn't have to edit.
We didn't swear at all today.
I should drop an F-bomb just to make you go back right now then and edit some stuff.
Just relax over there.
Just calm. The Batch dropped an F-bomb.
Did he?
Yeah, I had to go and edit
it. He did. He bleeped that, yeah.
He said, yippee-ki-yay, mother. What?
He did. Oh. You wouldn't know because you didn't listen to it because you're a jerk.
You still have some slobber
and don't support your friends.
I support you guys.
Everybody, we're friends. Chris isn't my friend anymore because I don't have a take, apparently.
No, I just don't like surf. I don't. There's really nothing more. I was talking about this on the radio yesterday.
Yeah.
When like people like blow you up on Twitter for like a well thought out opinion just because they disagree with you and they go, oh, you're stupid. Like, Chris, bring more than that.
Chris forgets though, because I do this on a weekly basis, that I think in his brain he starts to think that I do this, and I don't. I'm a fan. I'm the voice of the fan, and that's what the fan does.
But they're smart fans though, and you're a smart fan. You're better than that.
Yeah. I just think
you're better than sending me a text message and calling me names.
I just think you're dead wrong about Michigan State.
That's fine. Like, we all have opinions, and
You are so sensitive for someone who gives as much as you give.
You really are sensitive.
And you are definitely sensitive.
So,
podcast listeners, listen to this. Chris has called me racist. He's called me a homo. You've called me pretty much everything that no one wants to be called. And all I've called you is I've said that you're rich. And you send this crying text message about and all this.
Oh, my God. So you're
like
really going to bring that onto the fuck?
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up there.
You kind of went real puss on that.
Yeah, you were a huge puss.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah.
And he also doesn't like being called a celebrity. Yet, yesterday, what was he doing? He was at a celebrity go-kart race.
No, I wasn't. I was at a charity go-kart race. And
for celebrities.
They asked a couple media guys to show up.
For celebrities, yeah.
It wasn't for celebrities.
Come on,
it was actually for fans. I swear it wasn't.
When you told me about it, you said celebrity.
No, I didn't. It's media.
No, you said celebrity yesterday.
Yeah. Don't you dare call him a celebrity.
Don't you dare say he's rich.
Don't you dare insinuate that Chris Williams has any money.
But it's okay.
Because if you are, you are a jerk.
But it's okay to tell people that I want to kill animals, you son of a...
Stand up for yourself then, you little bitch.
No, I think it's I think it's just more fun.
I mean, you just sit there and roll up the fetal position and take it. Stand up for yourself.
Well, I don't whine about it.
The reason
like
we
do
it is because you just sit there
like
and you just...
What if I sit there and argue with it, people are probably going to be like, hey, probably a little bit of truth to this. No, I'll just let people think.
Because if you defend it, it must mean it's true.
Yeah.
Instead of whatever.
Thanks for dropping the S-bomb. Yeah, we know that, and Gray wonders why I don't invite him on the radio.
I don't wonder. I've never once asked for you to invite me to the radio. Not once.
Don't feel bad.
Never have I ever said, put me on the radio.
He doesn't invite me on either. I have to pay.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
He knows you got the deep pockets. He sees your shoes.
This is true.
He sees me coming a mile away.
All right. Later, guys. We'll be back. Next Wednesday?
Yep.
Yeah, next Wednesday. Later.
Walkast.